Scripture. Now, we know we're in the book of the Revelation. I'm not going to be there this morning, but we'll be back there this afternoon. Go to 1 John. 1 John in the first chapter. Now we're in a situation that in this country we haven't known this for a long time. The Bible is under attack. All out attack. From many different areas, different directions. But the Bible hasn't changed. It is the Word of God. And here's one of the dangerous things, is that God's people lose their confidence in the Bible, that it's word for word, the inspired Word of God. That's bad. God says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Paul says in Hebrews, the Word of God is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder the hearts and the marrows and getting down into there. And so, the Bible, we just don't have anything to compare with the Bible. And then we have the atheist evolutionist, and they go hand in hand. And they are attacking the Bible. Now, there's been a few things to happen recently from the Supreme Court that seem like there's a little let up there from all of the attacks on Christianity and the Bible. But it's still, it's under attack. And the best that I can do as pastor is to teach you the Word of God and encourage you and exhort you to have full, utmost confidence in the Bible, that every word is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. So, that's where we are. There are folks coming out with books. I heard one just last couple of days that are saying things like, well, the Bible really is not what you think it is. Well, I don't know what people think the Bible is, but I don't want to read a book that's going to tell me that the Bible okays what's going on in this world today. Because I know what the Bible says, and that's what we want to be on. So let's look at 1 John. Now I'm going to read chapter 1 and chapter 2 here, several verses here. Of course, this is John that also wrote the Gospel of John. And you can tell by the beginning here in chapter 1 that it's very similar to what we read in John's Gospel, the first chapter. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. And that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Now we see several things here. Number one, he's writing to believers. These are not things written to the world at large. These things are written to believers that believers may have a full joy. Not that unbelievers have full joy. Let's go on. I'll be back here and just come back here. This then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. That again, that's not talking to lost people. That's talking to saved people. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I saw on the Facebook, there's a Second Baptist Church or something way up in Maine, and they've got on their billboard. I guess they're having a LGBT gay pride parade in that town this week. And so that billboard of that Baptist church says, God made Adam and Eve in the garden, not Adam and Steve. And they're all having a fit over that, that they would dare to put something out there. Well, that's what the Bible says. And so people that are trying to adjust the Bible for what they want, to suit what they are, the Bible is not up for grabs. And, you know, I want to attract people if we can, but I don't want to attract them with something that's not real, something that's not true. And these churches have all of these things. Got an invitation not long ago from some church having some great big professional singing group in. And they're going to have it on Sunday, and I assume they're not going to have a service. They're going to have that singing. Well, I'm sure they got a crowd for it. People follow that. It's all right. I don't have any problem with singing, godly singing, but that's not what the church is here for—to have religious entertainment. Not at all. And so when you attract people, so we get people in there. Yeah, what do you get them in there for? You get them in there to be religiously entertained. Then what happens when you go to preach the Word of God and they say, I don't want to hear that. If that's what you're going to have, I'm not going to say. And that's what they give into. That's what they do. Well, we've got things here. Look here. That which was from the beginning. What beginning is he talking about? He's talking about the beginning of heaven and earth and everything that's here, everything that's made. Well, what does that do with the world? They just discovered a dinosaur fossil of some kind. And they just say it's 160 million years old. How do they know that? Did they? You know, you look on, on that Antiques Roadshow. They get furniture and something. Look on there, and they find a date, or find a name, or a mark, and all that, and it identifies what they're looking at. Well, folks, you don't have that on dinosaur bones. It doesn't have a date on it. Doesn't have an era that it came from. All you know from that dinosaur bone is that it died. And you can't prove anything else from it. And anybody that says you can, they're lying. They're not telling you the truth. But people just accept all of that. And then here comes the Bible, that which was from the beginning. Oh, well, that's probably just a parable or something. Doesn't really mean what it says. Well, sure it means what it says. It meant word for word what it says. And when he says from the beginning, then he says that which we have seen and which we have seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, we've heard, and we've seen, and our hands have handled of the Word of Life. Now he tells us about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Now from John's Gospel, the first chapter, we know that the Word, the Logos, is the Son of God. And here John says, we've heard Him, we've seen Him, and we've touched Him. One of there's an awful lot of religion today, even masquerading as Christian, that says that, well, Jesus wasn't really here, He just seemed to be. You can't read this and determine that. Here the Apostle John says, we and those others with Him, we've heard, we've seen, and we've handled of the Word of Life. So that completely denies all of that. Incidentally, there was an obituary this past week. I mentioned it before. Some woman that had been a professor at UK, and she passed away. I don't know how old she was, in her 70s, I think, but said that her loving wife was there when she passed away. That's commonplace. You see him, his husband was there. He leaves his husband. And people are accepting that as norm. These young people, do you know that the Cartoon Network, all of those kids' cartoons are promoting homosexuality and transgender, LGBT garbage? Did you know that? So you're not safe letting your kids watch Cartoon Network. You're not safe watching Disney, because every one of them are promoting an abomination of a life for these kids. And they're going to go up, and then somebody like me or somebody like you are going to say, what about the Bible? Oh, we don't believe that. That's wrong. That's been proven wrong a long time ago. We just believe you ought to live and let live. Well, I'm not trying to stop anybody, but I am trying to promote the truth, preach the truth, and people need to know what they're doing. And the same thing with all of this abortion. You've got that Gilliland woman running for Democrat. She's saying, and not only her, but who else? Several of them. Of those, you got a whole plethora of people running for Democrat candidacy. They're saying that they're doing the Lord's work by promoting abortion anytime abortion. And even after the kid's been, the abortion has been failed, the kid's alive, and they're going to kill him then, going to murder the baby then. The governor of Virginia says that. So they're getting all in politics. Because they're getting into my book. Amen. They're getting into God's Word. And they're perverting the truth and trying to distort the Word of God. And these kids grow up. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how long I'm going to be around. I'm going to be around as long as God lets me to be. If I've got my right mind about me and ability, I'm be here as long as y'all put up with me. And I'm not going to change. I'm going to be preaching the same thing. But now I don't know what's going to happen after that. You don't either. And what about these kids? They've got to come up in this world, and if they don't know what's going on, if they don't know the Word of God, how are they going to stand? I don't know where it's going to lead to. I know where it'll lead to. With the Antichrist, one world church and all of that. And just like it done in Canada and all over. If you say anything against homosexuality, you get arrested for hate speech. There's enough evidence on me. If they start doing that, I'm gone. But unless they cut my tongue out, I still won't shut up. They can't shut me up. They might turn me off, but they can't shut me up. Anyway, that which we have seen, verse 3, and heard, declare we unto you. Now, this is to God's people. But God's people are expected to know and believe and to take all of this to heart and stand on it. You're a little tough on that, aren't you? What does it mean to stand? What does it mean to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints? What does that mean? Does that mean that I've got to get the Word of God and kind of just adjust it a little bit for everybody?
No.
Well, there are lots of things. Brother, what you're in Sunday school. There's lots of things about the Bible. I don't know. Over there in Deuteronomy, where Brother Tim is teaching now in our Sunday school class. What all did he say here now? Look, he said, verse chapter 29 and verse 23, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth nor any grass groweth, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. What are we supposed to do with that? Are we supposed to do like Charles Stanley's son says? Get rid of the Old Testament? Unhitch from the Old? That's what he's done. He won't ever have a problem with that, will he? He won't ever have to come across that. He won't ever have to come across. Well, no, you can't get away from Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, even in the New Testament all the way through. I mean, from the Gospels all the way through to Jude. You can't, in 2 Peter, you can't get rid of all that. But I don't know what he's going to do about all of that. And people say, Sodom and Gomorrah, where is that? Oh, that's back there in Genesis. We don't need to do that. Really? But now, God says he overthrew those cities. And Jude says that is an eternal type of eternal punishment in hell. Now what are we going to do with that? How are we going to make that acceptable to the world? The only way you can make that acceptable to this world is that you're going to have to cut the wings off of it. You're going to have to cut it down so much that you can't even recognize it. And that's exactly where they are. That's why you don't hear much about the judgment of Almighty God. You don't hear much about hell, about the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. I'm not happy people dying going to hell. I'm not happy about that. It's not my judgment that's putting them there. I'm thankful God, in His grace, saved me and gave me a blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, and redeemed me, and we'll get that here in just a minute. I'm thankful for all of that, and the more I live, the more I know who I am, the more thankful I am for the sovereign grace of God. What we were talking about a while ago. If you accepted you didn't accept the Lord, He accepted you in Christ. Now, He says to us down here in chapter 1, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's we who are saved. If you're saved, you're part of that. If we say that we have no sin, what about these folks that say they live above sin? Are there some out there that say they live above sin? Yeah. If it's a man, I say, can I ask your wife? He says he lives above sin. I want to ask your wife, does he live above sin? Or I'm going to ask your husband, does she live above sin? And we know the truth about that. We don't live above sin. We're deceiving ourselves, the truth not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Meaning that you're not saved yourself if you say that. Now, so a child of God needs to know him or herself. How can you get so high and mighty over everybody else when you're not living above sin yourself? The only reason I'm here is by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ is the only reason. Now, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. Well, there's no excuse for sin. We do it, but there ain't no excuse for it. You can't say, well, there ain't no excuse for sin. Well, I didn't have an opportunity. No, no, you have no excuse for sin. Don't sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. Now, that word advocate is the same word that John used over in John's Gospel about the Holy Spirit, the one called alongside, the paraclete. Parakletos is the word. So, and our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Now, that word propitiation is used here. It's also used in chapter 4 and verse 10 of the same book. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Well, that word also is used for the mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the blood was put. The blood of the Lord's goat was put on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And some of y'all know what the tabernacle is. You know where that mercy seat is. And that's where the blood was placed. And that in that tabernacle had to be done every year. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he entered in once for all to that Holy of Holies in heaven, the real one, and he put his blood on the mercy seat once for all of his people. So he is the offering, the blood offering, the propitiation for our sins. Now there's a part here some people get upset with, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now what we have to understand here, what he means here, you look at how John uses the word world. Go on over in this chapter to verse 15 and see the very next thing that John says about the world. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now how about that? You need to connect those words with that verse. Now, so what does he mean? Not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The Old Testament saints will be included there. How did Adam and Eve get saved? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. How about those after this time who should believe? How did they get saved? By the blood of Jesus Christ. What about all the Gentiles? How did they get saved? By the blood of Jesus Christ. And you may say whoever is in the world and repents and believes has eternal salvation. That's what he means in that verse. He's not saying in that verse that everybody in the world is saved. They're not saved. Not going to be saved. Who's going to be saved? Those who repent and believe. That's just plain and simple. That's Bible teaching. All right, so anyway, he says, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. For a child of God, that's what we've got to be doing, keeping his commandments. Does that make us saved? No. We do know that we know him if we're keeping his commandments. You see, if you have no desire to serve the Lord, you have no desire to serve the Lord and keep his word, It's probably because you're not of Him.
Amen.
It's probably because you're not saved. But if you are serving Him, keeping His commandments, you can know by what you're doing that you do know Him. People talk about assurance. There's some assurance right there. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, this is not my word, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Somebody says, yeah, I'm a Christian. I got baptized 30 years ago. Are you serving the Lord? No, but I don't have to. Once saved, always saved. The Bible says if you say that you know Him and don't keep His commandments, serve Him, you're a liar. Now, I didn't write that. I'll keep on preaching it. But I didn't write it. That's not coming from me. That's coming from the Word of God. That's what God says. Now, but whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. How? By what? Our actions, what we're doing. If you don't act like a child of God, chances are you're not.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. I can't remember the guy's name. I've got the book. He wrote a commentary on 1 John. And he said, this is your acid test of salvation right here. You get through here, and you might know that you're saved. You get through the book of 1 John. Anyway, he that saith he abides in him, that means remains in him, I'm in him, living in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought all himself also so to walk even as he walked. Jesus Christ. How did Jesus Christ walk? That's how we ought to walk. Walk as you have received Him, so walk you. How'd you receive Him? How is it? Anyway. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is a word which you have heard from the beginning. There's not a new way of salvation. These things are not just now true in the New Testament era. These things have been true all along. Has God told His people to serve Him right along? What we've been talking about for how long in Sunday school? That's exactly what He says. Again, well, let's see. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is a word which you have heard from the beginning. Now, I have an idea that you could take that beginning in verse 7 and go right back up to verse 1 of chapter 1. I think it covers all that ground. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. It's just new to you. It's not new really. Which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. What is the darkness past? Well, Jesus Christ has now come into this world. How did He come? He came literally. He came bodily. He came as barely the Son of God, the Son of Man. That's the darkness that's past. He's here. He came. The light shineth in darkness. Now, because darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Who's the true light? Jesus Christ is the true light. He's the life and He's the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Well, here's another thing. You can't say you're a child of God and don't keep His commandments. You can't do it. You can't say you're a child of God and hate your brother. Alright? Is that pretty clear? He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Well, now what, little children? I think he's talking about those newly born again. He says, I write unto you because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Well, how about that? Your sins are forgiven you. How much do you know about the Lord? I don't know much. You don't have to know much. All you have to know is that your sins have been forgiven you by the blood of Jesus Christ. Little children, that's where you start. Oh, do you ever supposed to tell the little children about the doctrines of grace? Right out for his name's sake. If that ain't the doctrines of grace, I'll eat you at. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake, not because you mustered up the faith. Not because you did anything. It's all because of him. It's for his name's sake. Now I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. That's the opposite of the little children. They've been around for a while. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. So he's got all these little children, young men, fathers. Well, don't we hear about maturity? That's where we are. If you're a child of God, that's the reason you come into the Lord's church, do what he says, and you come there that you might be built up in the most holy faith and learn and grow in grace and knowledge. Isn't that what it's supposed to be about? That's what it's supposed to be about. And there's all different stages of that. So, but he says now, you can't be a child of God. That's pretty good. You can't be a child of God and not keep his commandments. You can't say you're a child of God and don't keep his commandments. You can't say you're a child of God and hate your brother. You can't be a child or say you're a child of God and love the world. Love not. Well, what's the subject matter there? You are love not. Well, we've got love the whole world. Well, that's not what that means. He loved all kinds of people in the world, Jew and Gentile alike. But the world itself is not loved by God. Amen. One of these things that I'm talking about, try to come at the Word of God differently. It starts off, talks about this beautiful world that God has made. So what's wrong with that? Everything. The world here is not the one God made. This is the result of sin. The sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's where all these briars, thorns come from. That's where this thing, death. Oh, but you know now, the evolutionists and all that, they're saying death is just a normal, beautiful part of life. And that's the way evolution grows, is through death. They're liars, every one of them. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that death is our enemy. And it's the last enemy that shall be put down. No, you're not to accept death as a beautiful, normal part of life. Oh, it's inevitable. But that's far from a beautiful thing. I don't know about you. Death takes what I love away from me. There's you too. This is not this world that God made. They had two feet of snow in Colorado yesterday. Boy, isn't that beautiful. Yeah, as long as you're looking on television, get up in it, try to live. How many people died climbing to Mount Everest this year? Already, a bunch of them. Why? Because you get up there and you can't breathe. I don't know what all they find up there, but too rugged. And so, well, it may be beautiful looking. You see it way off from a distance. But there ain't nothing beautiful about it when you get up on it. And there ain't nothing hospitable about it. It's out to get you. So he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You can't deny his commandments, not do his commandments. You can't hate your brother, and you can't love the world.
Amen.
And claim you're a child of God. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So all just normal things. Everybody ought to be able to do what they want to do. That's the result of sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's a result of sin. And to let yourself go into all of that, you're going into what is not of the Father but is of the world, and you ain't a child of God if you're doing that, and the world passes away. This world's going to pass away. We got to preserve the planet. Baloney. That's what they all say. Give us all your money so we can preserve the planet. Check, see where Al Gore lives. See if he's preserving the planet. He's telling you two, he wants to take your money. How do they get around? Private jets. A bunch of them. But he said the world passes away. I don't care what Dr. Hall Jones and all his buddies do. They ain't going to preserve this world. And when it passes away, it ain't going to pass away because of my exhaust pipe. It'll pass away because God has already passed judgment on it, and by the same word that he destroyed it in the days of the flood, he will destroy it by fire. That's coming. Somebody said that's coming to a town near you. Real soon. There's another thing. Well, how can you believe in a God of love that would do all that? Well, actually, the Bible doesn't say that God is a God of love. There you ought to read the Bible more. You'll find out the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that God is love. Big difference. He's not a God. Love didn't produce God. God loves, but he also rejoices in the truth. And God is a God of wrath and justice and judgment. He said, well, why are you hollering about that? You think you too good for that? No, Jesus Christ is too good for that. He's my Savior, and he's already undergone the complete wrath of God in my behalf. And that's why. All right, and then the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, you know, aren't we talking about being a child of God, saying you know him, saying you have fellowship with him? Well, if you do, you got to keep his commandments. You got to hate your brother. You can't love the world. And you got to do the will of God. That's a pretty good outline there. I don't have it written down, but it's a pretty good outline. And well, I wish I'd have written that, but I didn't. I'll tell you, and abideth forever, remains forever. Jesus said, believe in me and you'll never die. We hear something about like that back in the Gospel of John. I believe we did. Now, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. I believe that's the only time in the Bible the word Antichrist is used in this reference. There's many Antichrists, but here, as the, that Antichrist shall come. And of course, I believe there is the Antichrist that's coming. And it won't be long. He said, but even now, are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. So, many imposters, many posing as Christ, but they are imposters. They're Antichrist. And obviously, some of these Antichrists had been right there walking with these people that John is writing to. He says, they went out from a who? These Antichrists. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So they proved who they were by their actions, just like you and I prove who we are by our actions. Now, our actions don't make us, but we prove who we are by our actions. Now, he said, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things, because you've got the Word of God. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Obviously, there have been some people here that were denying Christ. See what he said to start with. We've seen, we've heard, we've seen, and we've handled of the Word of Life. But here, these folks have been denying that Jesus is the Christ. And he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Well, I tell you what, we've got a bunch in this world today that deny that Jesus Christ is the Christ. Muslims. Liberals. Oh, I was going to tell you that woman that died and her wife was with her when she died is having that funeral at the Unitarian Universalist Church up there on Clay's Mill Road, off of Clay's Mill Road. They don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. Anyway, whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father. Well, we got a list of things that you can't do, that you can't, if you claim to know the Father, if you claim to know Him, there's some things you've got to do. You've got to keep the commandments. You've got to serve Him. You can't hate your brother. You can't love the world. And what else? You can't deny Christ. You can't deny the Son. For if you do, you have not the Father. And how many times is that told us by how many different ways in the whole New Testament? If you have not the Son, you have not the Father. If you have the Father, you have the Son. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. If you're truly saved, you're going to remain there. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Now, how long is eternal life? If it doesn't last forever, it never was eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. That means trying to bribe you away from the Lord. How would they do that? They would do it all kinds of ways. How did Satan do it in the Garden of Eden? He questioned the Word of God. Yea, hath God said. Then he turned that into an outright denial. If you hang around that, you're letting yourself be seduced. But the one anointing which you have, that's what the Holy Spirit working in you, received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. You don't move your doctrine. You don't move the truth. You don't change it. And now, little children, abide in him. Remain in him. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. How do you know somebody's a child of God? They do righteousness.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. Pretty plain, isn't it? Yeah. We don't want any new approaches to the Word of God.
Amen.
Got no use for them. Our commission does not tell us to make the Bible acceptable to the world. I hear them saying, you've got to make it acceptable. I don't know how you're going to do that. Because whatever they're making acceptable, it sure ain't the Bible. It's sure not what the Bible teaches. It's not acceptable. So, well, what are we supposed to do? Preach the Word. Preach the Gospel to every creature. So, well, what if they don't accept? That's not your business. That's God's business. He said, we must do what he told us to do. I don't think we ought to have a snotty nose attitude about it, obnoxious and all that. But as we have opportunity, we need to preach the gospel. Let people know that they're lost and they need to be saved. And the only way of salvation is through repentance and faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's stand.